Here we go. Parshas Mishpatim is the first parsha in the Torah which largely deals with mitzvos. About a tenth of the mitzvos of the Torah are in here. 60 some odd mitzvos are here. Maybe just under 60. I don't remember the exact number. And as a result, the Or HaChaim's commentary in the parsha is largely a halachic treatise. In other words, every mitzvah he goes into a halachic discussion. And not because that's not interesting to me, but in terms of the direction of the Parsha classes, what is more fascinating is more like a Chumash analysis rather than halachic analysis. So I didn't really look at the components which were largely halachic analysis, because that's more for halachashir. And that's really what he does throughout most of the Parsha. So the snippets which we're going to look at tonight focus on a little more esoteric ideas, a little more depth, not so much halacha as much as really it's machshava and hashkafa. So that's what our focus is going to be on this evening. And if you see on the source sheet, I even broke it down, basically, you know, by perek. You see the only difference is that perek of Dalet is the part of the parsha that has narrative, because it describes some of the things which took place at the bottom of Har Sinai before Moshe goes up for 40 days and 40 nights. So I gave you his entire commentary on Perek Chaf Dalet, and we'll work our way through it. Okay, so that's the background to what's in this little booklet tonight, and beyond that we'll just skip from topic to topic, because Parshas Mishpatim, with the exception of the of that narrative at the end, it doesn't have a particular theme or a couple of themes. It's just many, many mitzvos. And sometimes they're related because they relate to damages and things of that nature, and sometimes they're seemingly unrelated, and we're not going to spend the time trying to figure out a particular theme tonight. Okay, the first couple of mitzvahs that we have in the Torah are in Mishpatim are Eved Ivri and Ama Ivriya. One of the interesting questions that the Or HaChaim raises is, why is it called Eved Ivri as opposed to Ivri Eved? I like the question better than the answer, because the answer is grammatical. I mean, technically, like, what would you say, an Eved Kanani? Like, you don't call him a Kanani Eved, it's an Eved Kanani, Eved Ivri. So that's, I think, just the way Hebrew works. But we're not going to look at that. What we're going to look at is the second of the mitzvos, which is the one about Ama Ivriya. Because there, the Or HaChaim goes into a more, I mean, it's not so much a history lesson, but a lesson of history. Okay, because he doesn't talk about history in a specific sense, but he talks about history in the way that patterns play themselves out. Okay, so let's take a look. We're on page 418 in the Chumash. V'chi yimkor ish es bito li'ama lo seitzei ketzeis ha'avadim. That if a man has to sell his daughter as an ama, as a maid, she should not go out the way avadim go out. Now, one of the points that the Or HaChaim raises, and I did not give this to you, but he does throw this in, which I thought was a little bit of a loop. But you know, when we translate the phrase "v'chiim kor ish es bito li'ama," we typically say when a man sells his daughter as an ama. Right? Why would the man do that? He's destitute. He can't take care of her. Right? There are a number of reasons for why that may take place. But he actually says "v'chiim kor ish." Maybe when a man is sold. So in other words, that maybe the man has to sell himself and his daughter. Right? Remember that the Eved Ivri situation describes a man who, that's a guy who is single. Right? If he has a wife, then his wife goes in with him and goes out with him. Notice how it doesn't mention his children. Now, I'm not saying that an Eved Ivri doesn't have children, because every situation is different. But here, the Or HaChaim at least raises that possibility. Anyway, but that's more in his little perush on the Chumash. Most of what he says is as I said before, halachic. But let's take a look at what he says here. Okay, we're on page one in the booklet. O Tirmoz HaParsha al Zeh Derech. That maybe there's another way to understand the Parsha. In other words, beyond looking at what this particular mitzvah is about and the details of it, and what it means to sell your daughter, what it means to be in that kind of need, and of course all the halachic responsibilities that the Baal HaBayis, that the owner, that the person who quote-unquote, purchases the girl have to her, or if he gives her over to his son. These are all things which are mentioned in the Pesukim. Even livno yi'adena, right? If he gives her over to his son, so his son has a responsibility for her, and of course what that means, etc. So we're not going to get into that, but let's take a look at what he says. He says that if a man sells, what's it referring to? It's referring to God. Esbito, what does it mean he sells his daughter? It means an umma kadosha. This is not pshat, okay? This is, I told you, this is an esoteric idea that in which he's giving us not a history lesson, but a lesson of history. Okay? Le'ama perush, right? Le'o shekvar obru galios al Yisrael, galos Mitzrayim, galos Bavel. What does it mean to sell your daughter into slavery? Okay, it means galus. If you're talking about, if you're saying that it's the man, and the man is the master is God, and God is selling his child, what's his child? His child is his nation, and what's he selling him into? Abdus. What's Abdus? Mitzrayim, Bavel, right? He says, and in all these, Bnei Israel are only, nishtabe, they were only enslaved to one umma, to one nation. And this does not come around this idea of calling it slavery on Israel. Aval begalus, heichel, shanu bo atam mishtabim Yisrael chalayinumos. So the galus which we find ourselves in now, we are subservient. Okay, so whether we call ourselves slaves, whether we're subservient to the 70 nations. Bechol makom asher sham ivri, or maybe it's shem ivri bazui. Bazuihu, b'shafel, or any place where a Jew is found, what is he? He's denigrated, he's lowered. B'chol echad bozez, b'chozer. And, you know, by the way, it's unbelievable. Like, who would have thought this would happen? Post-Holocaust, never again in the world, 21st century, and it's all over the place.
So right? Being attacked, you mean?
No, the Jewish people in general. Right? I mean, listen, thank God we live in America. America is an incredible country where crimes of this nature are at least investigated and prosecuted, etc. But it is yadua. I mean, it's known that anti-Semitism, even in the United States of America, is on the rise. And that the number, the ADL supposedly tracks these things, right? And the ADL says, and we also had this year from a representative from the World Zionist Organization, Congress, World Zionist Organization, WZO, was here, and he said that there are more, every year the number of anti-Semitic attacks around the world is increasing. Okay, and if you think that people don't like Muslims, whatever attacks against Muslims, and I'm not talking about the kind which is defense against terror, I'm talking about the kind which is against innocent people. In the United States alone, it's to compare the attacks against minorities, let's say, of that nature, versus attacks against Jews. It's four times more attacks against Jews.
Than Muslims.
Yes.
Yeah.
Than all together.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy. So that's what's going on. So now again, would I say that the idea, for example, the United States of America, Shem Ivri is Bazui Vishafel? I wouldn't say that. Obviously, it's not true. Right? Jews play a prominent role in society, Baruch Hashem, that's fine. But that doesn't mean that there isn't vandalism and anti-Semitic attacks. And again, you know, sensible people say these are crimes and they should be prosecuted, but that doesn't mean that it's stopping. Okay, v'chol echad bozez v'chozer likuti baser likuti. Okay, what is that? Yeah, I'm not sure. But anyway, let's continue. V'davar zeh yinaseh yisamein b'hem b'nisayon gadol v'simon muvhak. So this is a tremendous test, right? It's yinaseh v'yisamein. Yisamein means it's a sign. B'hem b'nisayon gadol, tremendous test. V'simon muvhak v'hu amro le'ama. So I put in bold all the parts which are the quote from the pasuk. Ki umaseinu b'galu zeh kontashem ama. Because our ummah, our nation, is basically treated as an ummah. Umayata, right? What's an ummah? A maidservant. How do you treat a maidservant? I mean, you could treat her nicely, but how is she often unfortunately treated?
Is she an illegal immigrant?
Okay. Umayata, gam vogu lo senu. And now, even when our... I shouldn't say even. when our geula comes, upidyon avshenu, when our redemption and the redeeming of our souls, kvar kansa uma shem avdus, the uma, the nation has taken on a name of being slaves. Zemra kadosh baruch hu, havtacha ki geula sa uma halaz lo tiyeh kederach asher tziyanu Hashem mitzrayim mibeis avadim. Right, listen to the pasuk again. Now, when you think of it from this perspective, what does that phrase mean? Lo seitzei kitzeis avadim. Right, what does it mean? It doesn't say kitzeis evadivri. It doesn't say. Right? It says what's kitzeis avadim? The way avadim got out. And how did avadim get out? That's referring to Egypt. Right, they're not going to go out the way that we took out of the way Asher Otsianu Hashem Mitzrayim Beis Avadim. Rather, it's going to be Nisim Muflagim Befirsum Bechol Olam. So I'm not sure. That sounds like that sounds like what happened at Mitzrayim.
Yeah, exactly.
So how is it? It's not going to be like what happened at Mitzrayim. It's going to. Okay, all right. So we'll leave that. V'hu Amaro Lo Sitzei Kitzeis Avadim Aramuzim B'Torah Mi Beis Avadim. So she will not go out. Like Avadim go out, which is hinted to in the Torah, Anochi Hashem Lokachar Sheretzizir Meretz Tzrayim, Mibeis Avadim. Right, that's the pasuk that is quoted there. Shaz Lo Ifli Hashem Plaav Elbu Machas. Hashem didn't do. Hashem only did his. Oh, that's the difference. I'm sorry. Is that what you were saying?
Yes.
Right. The difference is that at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Pella and the Pilei Plaim and the wonders that Hashem did was with one nation. Meaning, it was for Am Yisrael, but it was only against Egypt. But now, Bnei Yisrael are all over the world. And so, in order for the Kitzei Savadim, which was only against Mitzrayim, well, that's not going to work. Because if you only do it against one nation, then you're not getting the Jews all over the world. You're only getting Jews in one nation. V'az b'chol ha'olam v'hayu melachim manecha right, what needs to happen is that everybody will come along and they'll say, "Ah, oh, we were wrong. We shouldn't have treated you this way. You're right. Your God is Elohim." V'yomero, and when the pasuk says, "Imra'a be'enei adoneha asher lo yada v'yavda," right, Imra'a, that if she is bad in the eyes of her master, "Yisper al pi ma'amar zohar ki tishtaneh gulas Yisrael." Right, so there's a difference. There are two different ways that a geula can come. One is because Bnei Israel are
good.
Deserving.
Good.
And the other one is because there's a time's up.
Lowest level?
Right?
Lowest level.
Well, whatever. No, he says Ketz Hasatum. So I don't know what the Ketz Hasatum is. In other words, but I would assume it means that the time's up. God said there's a certain amount of time. Right, and whatever that time period is, and when that happens, then that's when the geula comes. It's because if it's because Bnei Israel is ready, then yavoa goel malach Hashem ba'amud esh mutzavarta b'roshav shemaim. Right, you see the imagery that the malach of Hashem will come with in a pillar of fire, which stretches from the earth to the heavens. V'im letzarakei to Israel lo ruim lo. And if it's just the end of time, and the Bnei Israel are not worthy, Ne'amar, then we have the image that we're familiar with that we learned from day one, right? Ani v'roche v'alchamor, the Mashiach, right? This is the Mashiach. Mashiach is going to poor man riding on a donkey, right? Or maybe he's driving a white Volkswagen Beetle, right? Maybe.
That looks like a donkey.
Right. What kind of key? Right. Okay. V'umro. That's what Imra means. That if Bnei Israel are ra b'nei Adonel, that the master says, you're not so good, but nevertheless, it's that time. Perish afilu imtiyeh ra b'nei Adonel k'shagia keitz asher katzav liyada. Right? What's a yad?
Hey.
No. Well, yeah, in this concept. It's a goal, right? You ever fly in El Al? You see they have that sign that says time to destination, right? Yud, right? Yud Ayin Vav Dalet. That's the destination. So, Kshagia Akeitz Asher Katzav Liyada V'lo Ba'elef. Ba'alif. Yirtzeh she'ena ru'uya liyudav ki hira'a. So it could be that she is not worthy to the destination because she's bad. Afal pikein vehefta. But nevertheless, he has to redeem her. Perish pidyon yusaglal kopanim. That the pidyon will come all the same. Avaloya davar kaderechim loya tiera as ra'a be'esagula. But it will not be the same as if it would be if she were not bad at the time of the geula. V'yamar, and the pasuk then continues to say, la'am nochri, to a strange nation, lo yimshol l'machra v'gdaba, you can't give her off to somebody else. Perish ki lo l'tzmisus ye ha-mecher la'am nochri, right? Tzmisus means like forever, for in perpetuity. Ki lo l'tzmisus ye ha-mecher la'am nochri, hagam she yivgod ba'ak, ma'am rakasuv keitz sam l'choshech, that it's not giving her over to another nation will not be forever. Okay, so what does it mean that he gives her over to his son? Well, they are essentially being given over to themselves. When Bnei Yisrael osim ritzono shel makom, when they do God's will, then they're called banim. Hakavana. Im yudim asher yedena Hashem beis agulat yel tzadi osim madregas banim. And if at that time of that goal of the geula, they are worthy of being called banim, as kemishmat abanos, davar zeh yaflig aflogas shashua Yisrael bevoa goel perish banos heim nishamos hamishtashim began eden ekrim banos Yerushalayim. Okay, so you see where he's going with this. He's saying that basically the message of Yom Kodesh is pitoli amah, that the idea of selling over the daughter to a nation is a siman for what the Bnei Yisrael, what Galus looks like, and what Geula looks like. Okay, so again, it's not a history lesson, but it's a lesson about history. So we've seen Galus. We're in a Galus, but we like to think that we're also seeing the beginnings of Ketzer Geula. Okay, so that's the first thought that I wanted to share with you tonight from the Rokhan.
Not halachic. You scared us.
Okay. All right. Excellent. The next topic is Perichopes. Okay, Perichopes. So again, I mean, everything that you have in the parsha is just different mitzvahs. Mitzvahs about how you relate to your parents. Mitzvahs about how you relate to if there's a fight, if there's an injury. Some things related to right. I mean, a lot of things related to injury, injury to a servant, injury to a slave. Things of that nature. What happens if you dig a hole, a shore, Baba Machteris, etc. So we get to Perichav Beis, which is on page 426, and we're at Shlishi. And, okay, so the first case in Shlishi is if a person sets a fire to, let's see, Ki Yaver Ish Sadecher, I'm sorry, that's not, Yaver Ish is not Ish. Yaver Ish. It's like it's not the same. It looks like the same. It could be a different word. It sounds like havara, right? The fight, but it doesn't mean that here. If a man permits livestock to devour a field or a vineyard, v'shilachas bi'iro, right? Bi'ir, which is kind of animals. They do the verb of bi'er. That's the that's what that one is. Okay, so that's the first one. We're going to skip that one. We're going to move on to hey, right? Ki say eish. You see the confusion? Because Mavir Sabeira refers to a fire. Yeah. Alright, so anyway, if fire goes forth and finds thorns in a stack of grain or standing crop or a field is consumed, the one who kindled the fire shall make restitution. Okay? So again, without getting into the halachic aspects of damage and fire and what you have to pay for, look at what he says here. Top of page 2. Uvederech Remez. Shemosa Torah says, "Share yourself with Rishayim b'Risham." That what the Torah is sending to is the way Rishayim, wicked people, go around in their wickedness. Kadesh Yitzorer Adam Itardema Shinas Sichlo, so that a person should wake up from the slumber of his what's seichel, folks, of his seichel, right, of his intellect. But behabito haflogas haraos asher yaviu leolam. when he looks at the division of the different kinds of bad things which come to the world. Because it's not, right, bad is not something which is can be confined to one small place, but they can be, it can be spread everywhere. And that's why the pasuk says, "Ki seitzei esh." When a fire goes out, halo yadata ki tzara sa'am tiskaneh b'shem esh. Right, the pain, the difficulty, the suffering, however you want to define tzara, that is something which can be fit under a label of what we would call fire. Fire, right? I'm sure we've heard such an expression. There's a fire. Now, fire could sometimes be something good, but when you think about fire in a destructive sense, you might say, there's a fire burning in so-and-so's house, right? Things are just, they're just being destroyed. Okay, let's learn from Gavriel, Gemara Yuma. Asher sha'al eish mibein abadim akruvim nubuchinas tiboras adinim. That who wanted to draw fire from between the poles, what's between the poles of the ark. And that's Tigboras Hadinim. That's the strength of justice. What happens with this fire? It finds the thorns. Who are the thorns? The thorns are the wicked people. The wicked people, they're just annoying. They ruin everything.
Yes.
Yep. That it finds Alderach Omro. V'haya kisimtzena oso, right? What's that pasuk? That's from Nitzavim. Kisimtzena oso. When just bad stuff happens, okay, and it seems almost random, but that's what it means for a fire to find a thorn. It just spreads. V'tamishim sharasha ein labalim. The rasha has nobody who rules over him. Ki adon baruch hu inehu ufakar bo. He basically said, you know, fakir is like from the word hefker, okay? It's like, just let it go. And he said, I'm not your master anymore. And God hides his face from the Russia. He's like, just something which is there. And anybody who comes in contact with him, you know, ends up following in his desire, whatever that means. Once the fire has permission to burn, guess what? It doesn't just burn the thorns. It can ruin a gadish? A nice field. Okay, understand. Shibolas imchaverta. Right, and who ends up suffering more than anything? The children. The children who get lost because either that which is supposed to guide them gets lost, or they don't know what to follow anymore because there's chaos, there's so much confusion.
A lot of this can be like the Yetzer Hara. You just, if you keep letting it take over, it just spreads and spreads and spreads.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. So it depends in which direction you want to take the metaphor. So certainly that's an adequate direction and a good one. You know, he's using the metaphor that the pasuk could be taken to mean, which is just how fire destroys. Gam amruzal, the pasuk, the rabbi said on Shir Shirim, using the pasuk from Tehillim, Mipiolim v'yonkim yasarata oz kiyu arevim b'shas kabbalas haTorah uchshiarshiu bnei adam inei arishus nesuna la'esh l'vayir b'hem. Right, that things from the mouth of babes. Right, that's what Mipiolim v'yonkim, and that is that they made a deal. Ayu arevim b'shas kabbalas haTorah that chashiarshiu bnei adam inei arishus nesuna la'esh l'vayir b'hem. That the deal was made that at the time of the acceptance of the Torah, that when people are going to start to go bad, then the fire can come and consume them. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
This is
tzaddikim die for
others. Yeah, that's essentially what you're saying. Now, I was a little nervous when I read this because there's a whole religion which is founded on such an idea, but we have when we look at Misa Tzadikim, what do we say? It's a kapara, it's an atonement that we have to, the plural equivalent of Yifash Vesh B'Ma'asav, right? That we have to do introspection and see that there is been a destruction. We don't say that the person died for our sins. But the point is that we were undeserving of having the person. And again, it's a theological question that we can ask. Maybe an ontological question. What does that mean? Why did that person have to die? Because we were bad, right? Is that really how the world works? Okay, so the idea that the Jewish people are called a kama, that comes from that pasuk. Okay, and there's a comparison to a tamar, tzadik ha-tamar yifrach. Sometimes the sin is so terrible that the tzadikim alone can't save. And the anger just spills over on everybody, all the enemies of Israel. Wait, I'm sorry, what did you say, Rabbi?
You want to know if it's a reference to
Israel. Kol Sonei Yisrael doesn't mean Sonei
Yisrael. It means us.
Okay.
It means us.
Yeah, okay. Lashon Sagi Nahar, Halavai, right? So we need look not too far in the distant in the recent past to see that something like this is real. It's real. Okay, so that's another. I mean, just it is a compelling image that we take out of the parsha.
No, this is all remnants.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So this is deep stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay, we move on. The next one is on page 430. Okay, Sukim Yurchas Yitas Chaf. So the not Yurchas, rather the Yitas. Okay, Yurchas is not what we're looking at all. So Zoveach Lelim Yecharam Biltil Hashem Levado. One who brings offerings to the gods shall be destroyed only to Hashem alone. Because again, I don't know how all these things are connected. The space is before Zoveach Lelohim. That's the Parsha, Stuma, where you have just like an indentation in the middle of a line in the Torah. But the next Pasuk Chav says, V'ger lo sonev lo silchatzenu, ki geirim ha'yizem ha'eret yishrayim. Right? Don't taunt or oppress a stranger, a ger. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And this is, I know I've mentioned this many times, but this is one of the reasons why I don't like using the word ger to define somebody who's converted to Judaism. Okay, a stranger means that you're living with people, but you're not exactly like them. Somebody who converts to Judaism is a Jew. So to call that person a ger, I don't think that's what it means. I think it's referring to somebody who would be more like a ger toshav as opposed to a ger tzedek. In general, because we don't say, be nice to the ger, be nice to the convert, because you were converts in Egypt. Au contraire, we were not converts in Egypt. So that's why I don't like referring to a convert as a ger. But anyway, this is the verse. Don't oppress the ger. What is the definition of a ger? Somebody who's kind of left his society to join your society. So what does it mean? Look at the next pasuk. Kol amanavi asom lo sa'anun. There's another group that you're also not supposed to oppress.
The widow,
the orphan, etc. And what happens? Imane sa'aneoso kim tzok yitzake la shemo eshma tzakaso. This is, an unbelievable promise, the Torah says. If you do oppress those people to the point that they cry out, guess what's going to happen? V'chara api v'haragti eschem b'chorev. I'll get angry at you and you're going to die at the sword. Because you weren't nice to the widow and the orphan, your women and your children will become widows and orphans.
That's harsh.
But it's mean that name either. Yeah, straight up. Okay, so let's take a look at what the Orachaim says. Okay, I only gave you the first one because it leads you into the second one. Rashi Zalpirish, Afhu Yachol Lo Nuscha, and he can also. He can also.
Like you?
I don't know. That's not what Lahonos means. Ki gerim yisem. I'm not sure. Anyway, Rabbi.
Maybe take advantage.
Yeah. Who knows? Right. Who knows? Rabbi Eliezer perish zachor or whoever Aleph is. I'm not sure. That's actually often the Ibn Ezra. We have Rome, so maybe it's the Ibn Ezra. Perish zachor Kiyisem Kamoso, you have to remember, because you were like him, Rabban, Docha Bezid Rachim, the Ramban rejected both. Uperish Kiseidu, Sheshmat Sakas Dalim, Kasher Shemat Sakas Ra. And he says that the Ramban says, no, you have to remember that you were once oppressed and you were in pain. And so when you cried out, right, we saw that God heard you. That's at the end of Perak Beis in Shemos, right before the burning bush. And then the burning bush, and Moshe is told to go back. Okay, so God, so the Ramban says, no, it just means that he's going to cry out, God's going to hear him, just like the Bnei Yisrael were heard when they cried out in Egypt. Menir Lamar. So okay, pretty intense. He says that the souls of the Bnei Israel are a source of kedusha of Avram's children. Bnei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Chevel Nachlaso. What's that phrase? Chevel Nachlaso. Right, the binding rope of his inheritance. Okay. The chol zulasam was zulasam. It's everybody who is
else?
Opposite them. Him chelik ra. Okay, what does that mean? Zeh lo yakpiru bezilzul adam she'enu mehem uva ona aso letzad sheyachshavu shepachosu me'adarvot zakdusha. So he says they're not going to be careful when somebody who is not of them, meaning somebody who is not of Bnei Israel, is zilzuled, right? Is denigrated in some way. And in his suffering, because they're going to think that he is less than them, me'adregos hakedusha, on account of the holiness. U'mizeh yulad anfei ha'ona. Guess what happens as a result of that? Anfei ha'ona. What's anfei? Leaves. Okay. What's ona or branch? Branches? No.
Enough.
Enough is a branch, right? Okay. So the branches of ona. What's ona? Oppression. So when God commands you not to oppress these people, not to pressure these people, not to do anything to them that makes them feel uncomfortable, Amar, he said, the reason why I'm commanding you to not oppress them in any way, you should not say this is on account of some aspect of a source of badness, okay, because he's involved in, you know, he's brought down by some kind of Kabbalistic klipa. Hare nigra, the klipa is a shell.
It's a shell,
right? A shell, that's the barrier. Hare nigra me'erkecha, ki atem gerim me'isem b'mitzrayim. So he says, you have to remember that part of your essence is, part of your value, what's an erech? An erech is a value. Part of who you are is that you were gerim in the land of Egypt. You were strangers in the land of Egypt. Perish al derech mashi perashti. God said to Avram, I'm going to make your children into a great nation there. What were they in Egypt? Gerim. So that means that people who are strangers can also achieve greatness. It was the souls of Israel that were also entrenched in this klipa. It says, don't oppress the stranger. By the way, I have to tell you, I saw, and if anybody wants, I'll try to forward it to you. I saw the most amazing video today. There was an imam, I don't know where he's from, but he might be from England, maybe. But anyway, he tells a story about how up until 2014, his name was Imam Tawidi, something like that, I don't know. He was a rabid anti-Semite, and you see videos of him when he was younger. Okay, and then he tells this video, he's filming himself tell the story. He says, I hated Jews because I grew up in that culture. Period. No discussion, nothing. He tells a story about how he was driving from, I don't remember if it was probably from Melbourne to some other place in Australia, and it's a 2-hour drive, which he's done a bunch of times, and his car breaks down smack in the middle of this place. He's near nothing. And he doesn't know how to fix a car. Okay, Gansa Maisa, hundreds of cars drive by, nobody stops. Finally, who stops?
Jew?
A Hasidic Jew. Okay? A Hasidic Jew. And he's like, no way. God, of all people, this is what you're saying to me. And he says, you have to understand, I was so antagonistic to the guy. Because I had never met a Jew before, and all I knew was that Jews are awful. So he says, no, just go away. What do you want? Why? He says, the guy says, I want to see that you're okay. Can I help you in any way? Anything? He says, just leave. So the guy says, okay, fine. He drives off, And he says, in a cheeky way, he backed up on the road back to him. And eventually he says, all right, look, if it's going to be this Jew, it's going to be this Jew. The guy comes along and he says, look, you know, there's nothing here. He had decided he's going to sleep on the side of the road in his car. And in the morning, he was going to walk to the closest exit. That's what this imam fellow was going to do. Anyway, the Jew says to him, look, I just want to help you. Okay? So he says, fine. He gets in the car. He says, I would not sit in the front seat with a Jew. Are you kidding? He sits in the back seat. He says, the guy didn't even say anything to me. But he drove me into town, and I spent the night in a motel. And in the morning, and he explains why he couldn't call any relatives. It was just too far. Nobody could have come. He didn't want to bother anybody. Anyway, he wakes up in the morning, and he takes a taxi back to where his car was. And he says, and as he's going back, and he sees where his car was in the middle of the road, but in the middle of nowhere. There are no lights, nothing. He realized where he would have been sleeping, and frightening, because just never been there. It dawned on him as he got back to his car how much he appreciated what that Jew did. And he says, I've never seen him again. I've never met him. If he ever watches this, and if he ever we bump into him, I want to give him a hug. I love him. He says, you know what happened to me since then? Changed my life, he says. Now, whenever I'm driving and I see people stop at the side of the road, I pull over and I help them. And he says, I'm not telling you this because of my chassadin. You know, he doesn't use that word. But he says, I'm doing this because that's what that Jewish man taught me. And so I love my Christian brothers and sisters. I love my Jewish brothers and sisters. And I'm just a changed person. When I realize, you know what? You just got to see who the other person is. Wow. It's an amazing story. And so I don't think that the Or HaChaim was mechaving to that completely. But he's saying, look, we're all human beings. You know, and we have to, we can't oppress people just because we think we have a greater level of Kedusha. It's like we saw last week. What did the Or HaChaim say? He said, we're not better than other people. We're not smarter than anybody else. What do we have? Two things going for us. God did chesed for us, and he loved our fathers. That's it. And so, you know, it's a pretty ecumenical message, I think. But it's also, it's straight from the Torah. Okay, next one. Parak of Gimel. See, we're doing a little bit in each parak, so you can cover the whole parsha that way. All right, it's actually towards the end of Parak of Chav Gimel, rather. Okay, towards the end of Parak of Gimel. We have page 438. It's Pasuk Chav Dal, right? Okay, so it gives us if you look in Pasuk Chav Gimel, you'll see, Ki Evech Malach Yifanecha, when my Malach goes before you. And he brings you to the land, to the land of all these people, and you're going to annihilate them. Okay, we're not getting into the discussion about the seven nations and that one time event. But what's going to happen is, don't bow down to their gods. Now, why would you bow down to their gods? You just annihilated them. So maybe you're not supposed to annihilate them. Okay. There's a lot of discussion about that and the way that Yahushua goes about doing things in the book of Yahushua. Anyway. Now, by the way, some of these things we saw in the Aseret Dibros, right? Don't bow to their gods. Don't worship them. That's a pasuk in, what is it? Is it Achrei Mos? K'maseh Eretz Mitzrayim, u'k'maseh Eretz Kanaan, asher ani mevi'esem shama lo sa'asu, u'v'chukoseihem lo se'lechu, right? K'maseh Eretz Mitzrayim. So what is he saying here? V'lo sa'aseh k'maseihem. I mean, it's the same. All right, it seems like it's the same kind of message. Mm-hmm. You have to destroy their gods and their ways. Okay, so what the Or HaChaim does here is he asks the question. He says, "What Tzarech L'das? We need to get to an understanding. Why is the Torah giving us this warning and this instruction after it's told us a bunch of times, basically about Avodah Zarah? Earlier it says, don't even mention their names, meaning of these gods. Right? Shouldn't be heard by you. It shouldn't come out of your mouth.
In game.
Okay, fine, okay. But Imkain, Mama Kum Lazirod, Allah, why does it need to be repeated? Okay, so we'll just skip the Ramban in the interest of time. He has three lines, but he has his own answer. And look what he says. Three reasons why the Pasuk is going to be repeated this way. Okay, so I put the beginnings of them in bold, so you can easily find it. That the first one is so that you should be warned not to be similar to the nations in their deeds. I'm sorry, right? If the okay, so if it didn't start off by saying don't bow down to them and don't worship or don't serve, then a person would not even think that I shouldn't learn from their ma'asechol, from their secular deeds, shame bavarazar, sha'asr, which are also forbidden, right? To do like their ways. What are their ways? Whatever their ways are, okay, which we're not going to get into now, but to not just, it's not just about their idols, but it's about their ways. Because one might think that it's only referring to prohibited behavior such as avodah zarah, idolatry. Right, from the fact that it basically said, don't bow and don't worship them, that basically means avodah zarah. Don't do like their deeds. We've already covered avodah zarah. So what are their deeds? What does the phrase kemaaseihem mean? Their deeds, even things which don't look like the avodah zarah. V'husha lo yidame lahem lo malbushayhem v'lo b'tizkal lachtam klal. You shouldn't follow their clothing, their haircuts, however you want to define that, the way that they shave. Mechan nichlal kol shum yuchad maasei agoyim kamar b'divrayim. Okay, now that's that by the way gives a pretty clear justification for the, I guess, I'll just call it a Hasidish custom, to have different garb. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, for us, what's our different garb? If you walk around with a yarmulke during the day, that's your different garb, right? If you walk around a little more tzenua than the hamonam, then that might be your different garb. Of course, anybody who's in the business world, who wears a suit and a shirt and tie, I'm talking to the men, so it's hard to compete with that in terms of tzenua, but at least the clothing looks more or less the same, right? In the world today, for example, we have rules, and I'm not gonna hate telling women how to dress. I'm not going to, but if you watch news, for example, once upon a time, the women and the news anchors they wore full clothes. Now it's like yadua that they're not. They never wear sleeves. Sleeves is like pasnish. You shouldn't do that. And power to you. I mean, God bless. But that's not always our way. It's not always our way. So to be a little different is okay. We don't have to be crazy different. But that's one thing. Not to follow the ma'asehim. V'habez. The second reason is lo dienu ba ki kol ma'asehim yesh bo avodah zarah. Okay, that's pretty harif. Yeah. Okay, he says that all of their deeds have avodah zarah in them. Because Hashem knows the ways of people. You so called davar. That's pretty harif. Yeah. So that you'd have to. I think you'd have to look at the evidence to see if everything that the nations of the world do has a shemitz of avodah zarah in it. If that's the case, I'll accept the argument. But if it's not the case. The word on the street is that America is one of the most religious countries in the world, certainly in comparison to quote unquote secular Europe. I don't know how many people in America really worship idols in the traditional sense. There are different things which people worship today.
Food is our sport.
All right, there are a lot of there are different things which people. There are different things which people worship, but I don't know if it constitutes avodah zarah. They might, Anyway, the hagimel. And the third one is Leos Shiratzal Tzavos Ala Risasam. Shivonam Zekaron Marlos Ishtachva. Because he wanted to command about the destruction of these edifices which they have, he starts off by saying, don't bad at them, Lamar, Shim Lo Aras, Veloshiber, Yineuka, Obedev Razara. That if you did not fulfill your mitzvah to destroy these things, you're like serving them. Keshem Tofes Al Machshava, Babar Razara. Utsrich and Hekir, Lashlilas Machshavos of Razara, Bilibam. And a person needs to make a clear indicator that the person is getting rid of the thoughts of avodah zarah. The only way you can prove it is if you destroy it. Now, by the way, this is, I have to tell you, I'm being honest, I don't completely understand this. I understand it for the one time and place. I understand it for that time and place because, you know, it's a different time, a different world. And the fact that these nations had settled in the land which God promised to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they knew this. And they knew who Avram was. They knew Yitzchak. They knew Yaakov. They knew, and they nevertheless built up their place there. It's just a different world. It's a different world. But today, you know, as much as if we frown on people in different parts of the world, for example, where the Jews have left going in and destroying an old synagogue, okay, then we should have. I think we should have similar feelings in places. Say, look. You want to talk about leaving it empty? All right, leave it empty. But to delight in the destruction, right? There's something about history which is. I don't think it's a bad thing to admire historical buildings, especially if they're no longer functioning. But that's a much larger discussion, which we're not going to get into. Okay, but this is a hashkafa. It's a hashkafa about what it means, you know, in the land of Israel. So the land of Israel today has a mixture of being an open society and a secular society under the guidance of Jewish thought at the very least, and so we say we respect all religions, and I think that's a decent policy, right? We respect all religions because who's in charge here? We are, right? The Jewish people are in charge. So you want to do your thing here? Okay, you know, that's fine. But don't start missionizing. Once they start missionizing in Israel, and there's a lot of missionary activity going on in Israel. That's when I'm not so such a big fan anymore. Okay, so you know, but we're presenting the viewpoint of the Or HaChaim, and at the time that he lived, I don't think anybody was really ruling over Israel. It was, like Mark Twain said in the early 1900s, the place was desolate. Yeah, there were some people there. It was part of the Ottoman Empire for a long time, but not a big deal in terms of what was going on there, and nobody was really in charge. It was just a little outpost of a larger empire stemming from Turkey for many years, and whatever else was before it, really more of a strategic land than something that people wanted to as a crossroads, right, to get to Africa, as opposed to a place that anybody really wanted to build up. Okay, so idolatry in the land of Israel, not good, and hopefully whatever is done is for the betterment and the sake of the Bnei Yisrael, and hopefully with respect to people, you know. It is what it is, but this is the seven nations is one discussion, and whatever else may have followed in history is a different one. Okay, and that brings us to chapter 24. We're not going to read through all this. The truth is, I really want to skip to the last two paragraphs. Okay, I just gave you the whole thing without editing it. So we'll let's look at chapter 24. The truth is that the psukim are arguably more important to discuss than the. On the commentary here, but let's take a look. We'll start in Pasuk Hey. The instruction is given that people can come up to a certain distance. They can't come too close to the mountain. Moshe writes down whatever Hashem told them. They build a mizbech at the bottom of the mountain. Pasuk Hey. They bring the lads of Bnei Israel. They bring these offerings. Moshe takes half of the blood and he places it in these basins. And the other half of the dam of the blood he puts on his back. Whatever the Sefer HaBris that he had written down in Pasuk Dalid, okay, that is what Moshe reads to the people. So that's the first time that they say Naaseh V'Nishma. Whatever they had said earlier, both in last week's parsha and in this week's parsha, pasuk gimel of this parak, they say called the Moshe Dibir Hashem Naaseh. So here in pasuk Zion, it's Naaseh V'Nishma. Vayikach Moshe Asadam Vayizrok Al Ha'am. So the whatever blood he had not put on the mizbeach, he sprinkles on the people. Vayomer, he says, Hinei Dam Abris Asher Gras Hashem Echem Akol Adurim Ha'ilah. Here's the blood of the covenant that God has forged with you. Vayal Moshe V'Aaron Adav Abiyuv Shavim Zekne Yisrael. So Moshe, Aaron and Aaron's two older sons, the 70 elders, they go up. Vayir'u es Elohei Yisrael. This is a very controversial pasuk. What's going on here? Vayir'u, they see es Elohei Yisrael, the God of Israel, v'sachas raglav, and beneath his feet, kima'asei livnas ha-sapir. It's like the likeness of a sapphire brickwork. Excuse me, etzem ha-shamayim la-tor, and it was like the essence of the heaven in purity. And then the pasuk tells us, v'alatzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado, to the leaders of Israel, the great men of the children of Israel, lo shalach yado, he did not send his hand. Who did not send his hand? Presumably God. V'yachazu ha-shalachim, they saw God, v'yachalu v'yishtu, and they ate and they drank. Okay, now, what happens here? It seems that Moshe, the elders, Nadav and Avihu, they're seeing God in some form or capacity. What does that mean? I don't know. The pasuk gives us some idea. We don't completely understand it because we have no frame of reference. We have no idea what they're seeing. But there is a view that Nadav and Avihu, when they die because of this story. And that this story is hidden in the other story because it's too embarrassing. What was your business looking up? We know, lo yirani ha'adam l'chai. A person can't see God and live. And what about the Zekanim? So in the story in Parshas Baloscha, the beginning of Parakeet Aleph, Ha'asaf Suf, right, there's a group there, but the pasuk says, Vayocha b'kzeh ha'machneh. B'kzeh ha'machneh. Okay, that there's a fire which consumes people at the edge of the camp, b'kzeh ha'machneh. And Rashi there, I believe, says, b'kzinim shev ha'machneh. With the great ones, the officers of the camp, and who are the great ones?
Canaan.
Is it Canaan? Ah. Okay, so there is such a viewpoint that they got their justs, right, whatever you want to call it, their
punishment,
their desserts, at these other later episodes because of what took place over here. Okay, why did it not take place over here? Because it would have ruined everything. Okay, it was the wrong time.
You mean because they had the prophecy? You mean because they were going through?
Yeah, because of what was taking place. So you can ask the same question about Nadav and Avihu. Why did Nadav and Avihu die in the Mishkan? It ruined everything. So yeah, well, which was would have been a bigger ruin?
Well, Moshe was up in the harbor or after?
Well, what's the question?
About that in the day. When did this actually happen? Moshe went up to get the Ten Commandments, the Ten Didros. Then what happened?
Moshe went up to study the Torah.
Okay.
And to get the Luchos. Okay. Look at the last pasuk in the parsha. Moshe goes up into the cloud.
So it seems like he came down.
This is before Moshe goes up for the 40 days. Yeah, where Moshe? I'm honestly not clear on where Moshe is during the actual revelation. You know, when the Aseres Divros are recited.
Okay.
I'm not clear on that because he goes up in the beginning of Parakeet Yates in Shmos. He goes up and down the mountain several times. And there is actually a debate between, I believe, Rashi and Ramban as to how many times he actually goes up. Mm-hmm. Is it? I don't remember the numbers. It's either three or four, maybe five. It depends on how you read it. So you know, we're not going into that. Well, let's take a look at this commentary on this pasuk be'alatzi leibin Israel. So turn to page 4. Okay, last page be'alatzi leibin Israel. Tzarek l'das lama husach lamar be'alatzi leib. Why does the pasuk have to say ve'el atzilei and to the great ones, and it doesn't say ve'lo shalach b'hem yado v'adavar muvan shal zakenim hamuskarim b'samuchu omer? So it says he did not strike his hand against them, but we know what's going on. Meaning there's no plague over here. Maybe kitamu nosan lama lo shalach gadol tzad shayu etzilei perish gadol Yisrael. It says maybe the Torah is trying to do is give us a reason why he did not strike them down. We know who they are. They're the Zekanim. So why are they all of a sudden called by this different word? Okay. Mm-hmm. So why did he not let tzad shayu etzilei perish gadol Yisrael? Ilu asu kain zulasam. Had it been other people who had done what they did, he would have struck him down. Right? If the 70 elders die, then that, not just said, I mean, that is a, listen, lahavdil. I was in yeshiva in Israel. I was in yeshiva in Israel when that terrible Asona Masokim was. Remember that? The helicopter crash? Two army helicopter, right? Do you remember? 73 soldiers. Okay? 73 soldiers. It was a training accident. Terrible. And they were saying at the time, I remember, they said there is nobody in the country who's more than two steps removed from that.
Wow.
Okay? And that's 70 soldiers, right? Now, is that true? I mean, I don't know how they would know that data for sure, but that was the rumor going around. So you have 70 elders, right? How many? 70 elders. They're from all the tribes. Okay, there's nobody who's not just a couple steps removed from the Zakanim. Okay, so that's the point. That's how devastating it would have been. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason why it was not the right time. So he did not send his hand against them, and they ate and they drank kasha. Why does it tell us again that they saw, that they looked? But it says, remember what it said? And then, we got it. We know what they did. So why repeat it? Okay.
What was the actual sin that they committed?
Looking up and peering.
Peering. But they seem that they went with Moshe to go up on the mountain they were allowed to.
Right. So you remember Lot's wife?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Don't turn around. What you do?
Turn around.
Okay.
Supposed to look up.
Right. It's like I remember when I was in camp. Every time a kid wanted to change in, like in the middle of the bunk, and he didn't want everybody to look, he'd say, "Everybody, don't look." What does everybody do? They look. Right. Don't eat for the fruit. Which fruit? Oh, okay. Human nature. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, did I just do the one? I did the one. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm back. Okay. Sorry, I'm in the second paragraph here.
Second one?
Okay, so the rabbis taught him, Vayikra Rabba, Kiniskavin Lamar, Ki Alidei Machze Shaddai, Nenu, Virgishu Abrius Vasova Ki Ish Ochal V'Shase. That what happened was, from this, Alidei Machze Shaddai, what is Machze Shaddai? This vision of God, okay, they benefited and they felt healthy, okay, and that's why they wanted to eat and drink. But in kasha, lama yifsek akasu b'am saying yem b'mamar lo shlach yado kimenaroy ayulo lahadim lamar maaseihem b'shleimus. Why does it say in the middle? It's elay b'nei Yisrael lo shlach. Like, just tell us that they saw whatever they saw. Vayachlu vayishtu. Chetz ma'ashrayim latohar. Vayachlu vayishtu. So why don't you throw in here? And basically, you have to imagine that's like in a movie, right? Imagine in a movie. Here they are, right? They're looking up and they're about to go eat and drink, and all of a sudden the narrator says, "Do you see what I'm not doing to them? I'm not destroying, I'm not killing them." And then they're back and eating and drinking. Okay, so he says, What is that? Why is that little narration in there? It doesn't make any sense. If just when you follow the flow of the narrative here, right? So tell us what they did. Show God's slowness to anger. Okay, don't. In other words, just logically, it doesn't follow. It doesn't flow. We don't need to see a second time that they see God. Okay, so we already said that question. So let's take a look at his answer. Next paragraph. Maybe remember when after the golden calf, so Moshe talks to God and has the most intimate and close kind of encounter with God, and eventually he says to God, right? Let me see what you are. Let me see your essence. Let me see your glory. And God says, that's where he says, "Lo yirani adam achai." But he says, "Ani avir kol tuvi apanecha v'krasi," right? "V'chanosi es asherachem richati es asherachem." And when I pass you, you're going to be v'nitzavta. What's that phrase? Something atzur. In the something atzur. I don't remember the words. What? B'nikvas Hatzur, right? So Moshe is going to be there, and when I pass by, God says, again, whatever that means, we have no frame of reference. We can't understand. But when I pass by, v'ra'isa es acharai, ufanai lo yiru. So Moshe is given the opportunity to see God's acharai, God's back, whatever that is. Okay? So we understand, at the very least, what we understand is that Moshe is given an opportunity to see something. But what does God say when he does that? He says that when I pass by, then I'm going to place kapi al panecha, right? And then, v'hasirosias kapi, when I remove my kaf, again, whatever that means, v'ra'isa zacharai, then you'll see my back. Okay? So that's the image that we have to bear in mind. Ki Hashem yase avdala b'yado lanivraim mehabit el elohim. Afilu Moshe, right? That Hashem has to make them some kind of a distinction with his hand, kaviyachol, to those who are able to see God. Afilu Moshe, even Moshe, kishenigla ela begila shchina, even when God revealed himself in whatever way it was for Moshe, some kapolav. Okay, he had to block Moshe's vision. Perish bechina hamafsekes levayistakel. Some kind of component of God's existence that blocks Moshe, that basically serves as a hefsek, so that Moshe can't see. And now what the pasuk is showing us is ki letzalei Yisrael lo shalak yado, that God did not send his hand. Look at this, it's amazing. Okay, he's not saying that God did not strike them down. Letzalei b'nei Yisrael lo shalak yado limnoa behem amachazel etzadeh yosam. Right, God did not block these Etzilei B'nei Yisrael. That's what it means, Lo Shalach Yado. God didn't send his hand to block their vision the same way that he blocked Moshe's vision. So Lo Shalach, right, remember, so he's saying that the Shlichus Yad here is not like when the Malach says to Avram, Al Tishlach Yodecho El Anar. Al Tishlach Yodecho El Anar means don't kill the boy, right? Don't hurt him. And here he's saying that God, Lo Shalach Yado, means that he did not send his hand to block their vision. He gave them the chance, lazun. Lazun means like to basically take in me'oro from God's light. And so that's what the pasuk is telling us. They saw the God of Israel. Ra'u or gadol shel Elohi Yisrael. They saw the great light of the God of Israel, avalo nistaklu, but they did not look at the God of Israel proper. Ella tachas raglav, they looked below his feet. Right, what does the pasuk say? Visachas raglav kimasei luvnasa sapir. So they didn't see God. They saw a light. And what does it mean that what do they see? They didn't see his feet. They saw what was under his feet. Okay, this is fascinating. I'd never heard this stuff before. El tachas raglav, achach letzad shelo shalach Hashem yado, perish kochov rishono limno behem, because God did not send his hand to block them, v'zeh ha'ilam koch lachazos b'noam Hashem. And so they had the strength and the ability to take in the noam Hashem, the pleasantness of God, v'nehenu zo achila zo shsia v'savea b'tov nafsham, and they were able to enjoy it. That was what they're eating and they're drinking. That's the English metaphor. They drank it all in. They ate it all up. But lo yikshe lama l'moshe sam kapolav umna'omi abit letzlei Yisrael lo shalach. He says, don't ask the question, how come God has to put his palm over Moshe and to block him from watching, but he did not do this for the etzlei Yisrael. Ki mashahutzrach Hashem l'sum kapolav Moshe, when God had to put his hand over Moshe, it's lo l'shlomi menu asoga shesigo etzlei Yisrael. God was not removing the possibility for Moshe to perceive that which the Etzilei Yisrael had perceived. Moshe, that was Moshe's baseline. Moshe was always at that level. Right? Moshe was looking to get the highest you could possibly go. Moshe, like whatever the Etzilei Yisrael achieved, it's like, here's Moshe, here's Etzilei Yisrael. Etzilei Yisrael, they get up to here, right, which is giant, but this is Moshe's base, and Moshe's trying to get up to here. Okay? Yeah, okay. V'yeshol le'lo amilin b'ferushan shel dvar m'shomer ani yatzmi. This is, and this to me is the most solid gold line that you're going to get from the Aruch Chaim. He says, Eloah Milin. What is Eloah Milin? don't know, is that a number? He says, there's so much to say on this, v'shomer ani etzmi, but I have to watch myself. Meha'alos al sefer dvarim hayoshvim b'seser elyon. To write down, right, exactly. In other words, turn off the tape. I cannot put down the things which are in the uppermost secrets of the world. Okay, now he's not talking about his book. He's saying to those who can't see in the light of life. And so, you know, I mean, what I would give to be on the fly of that wall where he's saying, and I know what's going on, but I can't put it down on paper. Unbelievable. Wow. Unbelievable. All right, folks.
Thank you.